This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 4089 for Thursday, the 4th of April, 2024. Today's show is entitled, Modifying a Python Script with Some Help from ChatGPT. It is part of the series A Little Bit of Python. It is hosted by Mr. X and is about 23 minutes long. It carries an explicit flag. The summary is, in this episode, I describe my experience of fixing some Python code with some help from ChatGPT.
Hello and welcome, Hacker Public Radio audience. My name is Mr. X and welcome to this show. As usual, I'd like to start by thanking the people at HPR for making this service available to us all. It's really an invaluable service on these here intertubes. HPR is a community-led podcast provided by the community for the community. That means you can contribute too. They're always shorter shows and I'm sure you must have something you can record or something you can send in. It's very easy. HPR people have gone to a lot of effort to make the process as simple as possible. Just hit a record button on something, your phone, your computer, your tablet, whatever you've got to hand, and send it in. So this show, it's kind of, I'm not prepared enough as per usual, and I'm a little bit short of time, so we'll see how it goes. Hopefully I can not be too unstructured about it all. So this came about because way back in the day, I have a Python, I have a Raspberry Pi that I use, sits in the living room basically, and it's got a Pi face command and display module installed onto it, and a case around about it. So it's basically an LCD display. It's got a backlight, it's got a number of buttons on it, and a toggle switch on the top, which you can toggle back left and right. And you know, there's a Python module that came with it at the time. It allows you to write programs that allow you to interact with the Raspberry Pi and display things on the display. And I use this to stop and play, predominantly to stop and play podcasts, and I listen to them on headphones around the house. And I can also interact with it with a remote control, our television remote control. And I covered all this in earlier episodes, this module. Let me get this right now. In one of the episodes, I explained that I used I sort of expanded this script so that when I turned the Raspberry Pi on, it would go to the HPR website and grab the number of free slots and display it on the display. And if it was below a certain number, above a certain number, it'd be green. Below a certain number, it would go, was it blue, I think? I can't remember. It went to another colour, and then if it was below a certain number, it would go red, or something like that. So at a glance, I could tell whether the shows were low or not. So every time I powered the device on it, it went off and checked that. That was, I described that in, well, I was actually, I think there was an earlier episode, but this is the one, the most recent one, which explains the script, an improved version of the script, and it was HPR 2340. And, so that was that. I'll put a link to that in the show notes when I get into writing the show notes. And that was all fine. So it used a file that was on the website, on the HPR website. It's HPR 2344 was the follow-up one. Yeah, HPR 2344, which was an improved version. And in that improved version, HPR 2344, I said, This is a follow-up to my previous HPR show 2340, the improvement being that I use the available stats file from the HPR website rather than scraping the content from the HPR calendar page. Yes, that was a kind of more robust way of capturing that number of shows in the queue. And that was all great and dandy. When the HPR website's been changed to a static site, the stats page was no longer generated. So I kind of just gave up at that point. And I did sort of mention it to Dave and Ken. From the way they were speaking, it didn't sound... Obviously, they had a lot of things on their plate. See, obviously, the janitor's always very busy. And it didn't initially sound like they were going to be able to implement anything like that now with the new site. And I did say it was a very, very low priority. It's not that big a deal. But to my delight, Ken, let me just see, what was it now? I've got this here. Dave, I got an email from Dave saying, Ken was keen for you to know about some changes he made to the dynamic part of the HPR website. So yeah, it's documented under HPR changes. You were using the statistics page to run some software you wrote in the past, and we had not added this to the new site after the changeover. Have a look and see what you think about the changes. So there we go. So there's now, when you go to the if I can find it now, Hacker Public Radio, and you go to that, and you go to Give Shows, and then if you go to the calendar page, is it down the bottom? I think it is. Oh, there we go. Workflow. So in the calendar page, workflow. The HPR statistics are regenerated every 15 minutes and are available in JSON format. Note the format is liable to change without notice. Yes, well, so it might break, I suppose. So it's https://hub.hackerpublicradio.org/stats.json. Yeah, that's the link. And if I click on that, you get this JSON file, which I didn't know anything about JSON file format. It kind of looks, it's kind of like an indented sort of, I guess it's a bit, I believe it's a bit like XML, if you know anything about XML. It's a way of structuring data in a text file, I believe. What I should have done is gone to Wikipedia and got a sort of brief summary about the JSON file format, but of course I didn't, so sorry. I can always put a link to that, I suppose, in the show notes. So it starts by saying stats generated 1709, the one I'm looking at now, 17093889 08, age, and then you've got a start field, a rename field, since starts. So that's giving you total number of seconds since the beginning of HPR, I'm guessing. The total seconds for HPR, let's see if I can get this right. I'm just looking just now. Obviously, it's now out of date, but it's 58 million, 200. Yeah, I can't read that out. It's just too complicated. It's a lot of seconds. But it's 18 years, 5 months, and 19 days since HPR started. Wow, that's quite astounding. Since rename, total seconds, year 16, 2 months, and 6 days. Shows, total 4,610. This week with a techie, 300, HPR 4,310, human duration 0 years, 2 months, 26 days, 23 hours, 42 minutes, 55 seconds, not sure what that's about. Hosts 356, and then below that there's a slot, and then within the slot field there's a sort of indented deeper field called next free, and it currently says 13, and that's what I'm interested in, obviously, to read. So I need to look at the slots field, and within that the next free, and then there's workflow, upload to IA 2, release show submitted 26, Q, I don't know what that is, Q, that's another field, number future hosts 10, number of future shows 34, unprocessed show 0, submitted show 0, shows in workflow 2, reserve 26. So that gives you the sort of thing that you can obviously write as a, you know, you could create a script or something to scrape that information and do something with it. You know, I happen to use, as I say, I'm a Raspberry Pi with a Python, so what's it called? Command and display module, basically. Now, this command and display module's on a blink stick as well, so that it pops on an LED on the side of the Raspberry Pi. I mean, I don't know if blink stick's still available, and the command and display was updated to a newer version where it was a slightly higher resolution, I believe, but I don't know if that's available anymore, and certainly the one I've got isn't available anymore, and the software's not available for the latest version of Raspberry Pi. And I run an old version of Linux on my Raspberry Pi, and it's just a nightmare to keep working, basically. And during one of the upgrades I did to the Raspberry Pi, I had to change from Python 3 back to Python 2 to make it work. And I had to mess about, change the code. Well, I actually found that there's a number of modules you can include in your Python script to do that. Actually, I'll explain more of that when I talk about how my update actually worked. So I was a bit short in time. That was the problem, as per usual. Let me just think now. Where was I? So I was a bit short in time, and I thought, well, hey, I would be really keen to get this working. And I'm also really, really rusty with Python. I'd kind of forgotten how to write. I mean, obviously, if I look at Python, it's if you've got programming experience and you look at that Python code, it's really very readable, so you can guess what a lot of it's doing and all that. And in my Python code, I had a lot of comments and stuff, so that helps as well. So I decided that I wonder if I could speed things up by getting some advice, so to speak, from ChatGPT. So that's basically what I did, and I mean, obviously I won't go into the detail of the code and whatnot, but I can describe generally what I did and the outcome, and I think really that's what I was going to cover, and just say, you know, it's I found it to be a very good way of speeding up the flow, and especially if you're a bit rusty sort of thing. Obviously you've got to. You can't just blindly go into it, I guess, and use ChatGPT to. Well, you can. You could, but you know, it helps if you understand, if you've got some programming experience and whatnot. But so anyway, the first thing I said to it was, you know, I said, you know, write a script. I asked it to write a script that could parse the next free value from the JSON file located at, and I pointed it to the Hacker Public Radio site. And it basically said, yeah, I can do that. And it fetches the JSON data from the provided URL and extracts the appropriate field and whatnot. And it came back with some code, and it had comments in it. It was all color-coded as well, so you could work out which bits of the code was getting the URL, and then it would do some error checking and whatnot, and it would print a message if it was available, and it would print the next free value, and then if not, then it would say there's no free value found and whatnot in the JSON file, and then there was also a final bit about what to do if it failed for some other reason, and then it gave an explanation of the code down below, and I thought, well, that's quite good. So, and then of course I remembered, as I was saying to you earlier, that I looked at my main Python script, which is a lot of other things, obviously, and I checked to see what version of Python it was using, because at the top of the Python script, it says it gives a path to the interpreter, and it was Python 2. I thought, oh, heck. So I thought, I wonder what version of Python that that ChatGPT was writing that in. So, you know, I said, you know, what, I asked it if the script would work with Python 2. And it told me no, it wouldn't work with Python 2. And it explained a number of reasons why. And then specifically, it was talking about the requests, it used the request library to capture the stats from the JSON file, and it said it's not included in Python 2, so it used something else. So it was basically URL lib 2, I think it used for that, and URL lib 2 for making HTTP requests. And then it also was it a JSON module, I think I had to add a JSON module as well to deal with the JSON, the JSON format. Yep, so that was fine. So of course I ran that, and I got an error about an SSL certificate thing, and it replied saying, oh well, you know, this was because the SSL verification had failed, and it was explaining that this was because the SSL certificate store didn't include the necessary certificates, so it gave an example of one way to resolve this, but it's really just bypassing it and putting a fake valid certificate. I don't fully understand exactly how SSL certificates work. I haven't really delved into that, but it was a kind of hack to get around it, and it said, oh, I. It noted that, you know, disabling SSL certificate verification should only be used for testing purposes and not production environments. That's all sort of thing. I said, no, that's quite impressive. And then I got a final thing about an error, about name error SSL, and it said, oh, and then it apologised. It said, oh, very sorry that I forgot to tell you to include the SSL module, and then here's the corrected version, sort of thing, you know. And so I ran that code, and that was fine. And then of course, when I copied and pasted this, not exactly, but the similar text, and of course I then realised that the next free value field is actually indented and held within. So it's like a nested field, if you like. Where was that? So if I can find it again. Oh yeah, there we go. So the next free slot is within the slot field. So you've got the slot field, and inside that slot field is two further fields, either next free or no media. And so it was the next free one I wanted. I thought, well, how the heck do you interrogate a nested field sort of thing, of one field within another field, basically. And so I actually said, you know, asked how I could modify the script to read a value of a JSON file within a field. So it's like an indented one. And it said, oh yeah, you could chain the fields together, sort of thing. And then gave an example of an outer field and inner field and value, and then explained how to do that. And so I was able to adapt my code to use that sort of technique. Obviously, the example it was giving was to do with an outer field and inner field, and it wasn't really, you know, I had to adapt it and modify the code, but it worked. And you know, I can't remember, it took me an hour or so to pull all that together, and I thought, you know, that's incredible for a novice programmer such as myself. I'm not a professional programmer. It really, really speeded things up, giving suggestions and examples and explanations. You know, I could have searched all over the internet trying to find examples and then rework it, understand it. And I guess even if you were looking online and found examples, you could ask it, you know, if you didn't understand it, you could explain, well, can you explain this bit of code, and how is it working? So, I mean, so in some instances, it's absolutely phenomenal. But not always, because another example I can give you is Mrs. X. She'd been learning the R programming language, for work, and she's not got much experience of programming, even less than me, so to speak. And she was looking online trying to find example code and stuff. So R programming language. Again, I should have had the Wikipedia article up about the R programming language. It's basically it's used by like statisticians and stuff like that. It can grab data and manipulate data within spreadsheets. I think that's basically kind of it's what its strong point is. And it can graph and do create graphs and stuff as well, I believe. So Mrs. X found a website that gave a number of functions you can use to do various things. And she says, oh yeah, but I don't quite understand that. And then below each function, there was a wee bit, there was a thing that said explain. So because she pushed that and she said, and then the next thing, text started appearing on, it was like written out as if, like it was getting typed very quickly sort of thing, below the code example. And then below it said powered by ChatGPT. So basically the lazy site person who produced the site thought, oh, I can't be bothered spending the time explaining this code, I'll get ChatGPT to do it. So, you know, I've got a little bit of programming experience, and I think when you're assigning a value to a variable on in most programming languages, you use like an equal sign or something like that, or a double equal sign or whatever, you know. But I think, and I could be wrong here, and by all means you can correct me, but I think in the R programming language they use a less than sign and a dash, is it maybe? I'm not sure, something like that anyway. But anyway, ChatGPT interpreted that and said, from what I recall, it was less than the value or something like this. So the explanation was, I think, was rubbish, absolute rubbish, you know. So it didn't understand what it was saying. It was just talking rubbish, basically. So, you know, you can't rely on it, and it can make complete mistakes. But my God, it was really impressive how quickly I was able to pull that script together, and it really saved me a lot of effort. So I just thought I'd share that with you all, and just you might find it kind of interesting. I don't know if I've got much else more to say, but I'm not going to bother. Obviously, I can't share the code necessarily. Mind you, I think I rewrote it anyway, to be fair, so it wasn't really my final code wasn't finally actually generated by ChatGPT. But just think, obviously, there's a thing about what's compatible with the licensing for HPR. But I think, obviously, just giving a general overview of the process and what happened should be okay to post. And if you want a copy of the code, just send me an email, and I'm more than happy to give you a copy of that code if you want. But, I think that's really all I've got to say on that anyway. And I hope you all find it vaguely interesting. And, you know, I'm sure you must have something you can send. You can send on a show as well, you know. It's very easy. So if you want to, I think, finally, if you want to contact me, you can contact me at mrx@hpr@googlemail.com. That's mrxathpr, the at symbol, googlemail.com. So until next time, thank you and goodbye.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HPR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.